my soul and live. And I want to share with you what God just put in my heart about that, how we can awake in our own soul, where we can speak to our own soul. And there's lots of scripture that says, where it says, spring up a well, our soul and our flesh to the Spirit of God. And I'm just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. How great our God is. And I want to show you that each of you and I have a secret weapon. But it shouldn't be secret. And unfortunately, it goes unused and missed as part of our arsenal against the enemy of our soul. This weapon, it cuts through ungratefulness. It cuts through judgment. It cuts through suspicion. It cuts through self-pity and envy and jealousy. It cuts through unforgiveness. It cuts through when you keep records of wrongs. It cuts through pride. It cuts through you staying in your past. It cuts through rejection, hatefulness, the pointing of the fingers towards others. You know, in the prayer room this morning, Mark, as he was praying, he prayed that thing, rise up and live. And that's the same thing as awake my soul and live. It's like rise up and live. We have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the weapon that I want to deal with today is gratefulness and thankfulness. In Romans 1:21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's something, we can know God, but we can be unthankful and ungrateful. And I think that we've all met people where the cup is half full, where every situation is negative, every situation is like, where is God in this? And I think that there's something that we need to do in our act of obedience to God and listening to God that changes us. The good news is that this does not have to be us. We don't have to be the people where we're futile in our thoughts and our hearts are darkened. I believe that we, as the people of God, have a choice. We have a choice to believe what God says, to believe what the Word says. And I believe that as I share about gratitude and thankfulness, it's a way to awaken our soul to live. I believe with all my heart, because it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thankfulness and gratefulness is a heart condition. It's something in our hearts that needs to be adjusted so that we become thankful, grateful people. And even in difficult situations, we can be grateful. I know I've shared this at different times, but there might be some new here that haven't heard this. But one of the times where there was a supernatural presence of God regarding gratefulness was when I was 4.5 months pregnant. It was between Ruth and Leah, and I had 7 miscarriages, and at 4.5 months I thought, oh, thank you, God, like finally we're going to have a baby. And then in the middle of the night, I started to miscarry. And as I was in the bathroom, the Spirit of God came in that room. And the scripture that came to me, and it might seem weird to some of you, but it was the scripture, I will give thanks with all my heart. Your gratefulness, your thankfulness should be in my mouth. And in doing that, it was like saying, God, I put my trust in you. The enemy hasn't taken this baby. You are the giver and the taker of life. Blessed be your name. There's something about thankfulness and gratefulness that it does something to our spirit that we're saying, God, my trust is in you. My hope is in you. Though you slay me, yet will I praise you. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet will I give thanks to my God. We're going to go through difficult situations. If you became a Christian and think life is going to be rosy, sorry, you got the wrong message. The Bible says tribulations will come. It says offenses will come. But God wants to work in us his character and his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Gratitude is attitude. It really is. It's an attitude of the heart. It's like surrendering. It's like being on our knees and in every situation saying, God, you're here. God, I'm going to find you in this situation. I want to tell you, and this just came to my mind, and I probably have even shared this little joke before. It's like the two little boys, and one was put in a room full of all brand new toys. And, you know, just the latest of everything. And they put him in there, and then they watched him through a glass, but he just stood there. And he didn't play with any of them, he didn't touch them, you know. And they came back in an hour, and they said, what are you doing? And he said, well, they might get broken. Well, why don't you get a friend in here? Oh, well, he might steal them, or he might do something. So he just sat there. And the next boy, they put him in a room, and it was a room full of horse manure. And they came back, and the little boy was laughing and joking and throwing up the horse manure and whatever. And he goes, with all this horse manure in here, there's got to be a pony somewhere. And you know, it's a funny little story, but really, it's attitude. It's attitude in everything that we have to be grateful. You know what? Sometimes life hurts. Sometimes there might be a lot of horse manure. But honestly, if everything is for our sake and our benefit, God has something in it for you. In every situation, no matter if someone's offended you or hurt you or rejected you or you don't like him, if you, in the middle of your situation, can say, God, you promise that all things are for my benefit. So instead of looking to that person to supply me something or do something for me, God, I'm going to look for you in this situation. I'm going to look for the God part of this equation. Situation plus God equals God. And sometimes we want to take God out of it, but he's not. He's right in the middle of it. I've seen when I've given thanks, the actual supernatural of God. Another situation was, we were in the old church when we met on Monroe, and we were standing there, and we had actually started the church, and then Mike and I went back to Prince George for 3 years, and Pastor Slade was taking over, and we came back to give... Slade had burnt out and was just going through a time, so we came back to take over for him. And when we did, there was a woman that just, I think she resented us coming there. And I think, and I know it was, her heart wasn't, she wasn't meaning to that. It wasn't the intention of her heart. But I think because she just loved Pastor Slade and loved what, you know, the relationship and what he had done. And, you know, he was the vessel that God used to rescue her from a dark situation. But when we came, it was just like she resented us. And, you know, sometimes when I would come into the church, I could just feel the, you know, the, I don't really like you and I don't want you to be here. But God started speaking something to me and saying, begin to bless her. Begin to thank God for her. And this one day when she came into the church and she came, I didn't even know it was her. She just came in behind, but I could just feel the, you know, almost in the air, just the hate daggers towards me. And I just began to pray and I said, God, just bless her. Touch her heart. God, I'm thankful for her. Thank you that you've reached her, that you've touched her, you've delivered her. God, do something in this relationship. You know, I just don't know what to do. And after the service, she came to me and just weeping, and she said, God just broke my heart today. I don't know why I haven't liked you, and I'm so sorry, and it's nothing that you've done. But it something supernatural happens when we begin to thank God. I looked up the meaning in the Bible dictionary in the Hebrew of some of the Hebrew words of thankfulness, and in the Greek New Testament. And I want to just share what some of those words mean of thankfulness. It means adoration. It means a choir of worshipers. It means praise. It means abounding in thanksgiving. It means over the top thanksgiving. And this one I love. It means a grateful language. Gratitude and thankfulness mean a grateful language to God as an act of worship. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. We are the aroma of Christ among those being saved. And you know what? Hopefully it's a good aroma and it's not a stench. Hopefully that it's the sweet smell of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully it's something that people will taste and see that God is good, that he's kind, that he's loving. The most grateful, thankful people on earth need to be the people of God. We've been redeemed. We've been rescued from darkness. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ's dear Son. He's delivered us. He's saved us. He's washed us clean. No matter what your past was, he has cleaned you. And not only has he cleaned you and I and washed us, but it says he puts it into the sea of his forgetfulness. He doesn't remember. Sometimes we want to bring it up and we want to, oh, when I did this or when I did that. And he goes, when you did what? It's in the sea of his forgetfulness. Our past is. Not only does he forgive our sins, but he gives us hope, of an eternal hope. He gives us a future. And he gives us blessings and benefits. You know, and we're to not forget all his benefits and blessings, his gifts. 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus Christ is the indescribable gift of God. He paid the price for our sin. He paid the price for our eternal damnation. He paid the price. And now, court is adjourned, and we have been set free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. 2 Corinthians 4:15, and it talks about all the difficulties, all the things that was happening in the Corinthians, and it says, all this is happening so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Isn't that something? All this is happening. Maybe you're going through difficult times. Maybe you're going through financial crisis. Maybe you're going through relationship crisis. Maybe you're going through rejection crisis, or you're going through things that are horrific beyond even mentioning or beyond measure. But it says, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I've seen more even in the last while since Chris's encounter with God. I have seen more ripple of thanksgiving and what God has done in lives than I've seen for a long time. There's something powerful about our testimony of giving thanks to God and our gratitude of when we encounter God. It does something supernatural, not just for us, but it's a witness. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimonies go out and share about the goodness and kindness of God. Give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart. Psalm 50 says, sacrifice, thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. He will deliver us and we will honor him. Give thanks to the Lord. And really, what is our option? What is our option? We can get down on the mouth. We can complain. We can be ungrateful. We can, you know, curse God, curse everybody around us, be ungrateful. And what does it do to us? You know, I think that it puts us in a small place. When we're ungrateful, when we're unthankful, it's like it shrivels us up. But when we begin to be thankful and grateful, it's like it opens our hearts up for more of God. You know, it's not a scripture, but it was a saying that was coined, to a grateful heart, a double portion comes. And I believe that's true. People that are thankful seem so blessed. I want to read Psalm 100, verse 4. Let's just read the whole thing. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You know what? I think some of us have never done that. We've never shouted for joy. We've never served the Lord with gladness. Or with joyful songs. Some of us can get more excited at a hockey game or a sports event than we ever can in church. But I tell you, we have 100 times more to be grateful for. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. What an incredible thing. We don't belong to the kingdom of darkness anymore. We don't belong to the people that are on their way to hell. We don't belong to even our own culture, our own family. But we are his people. We are his. We belong to him. And we're the sheep of his pasture. He's a great shepherd. He lovingly watches over us. He cares for us. He's the shepherd that will go after the one that is going astray, and he will go after him and after him till he finds him in the thicket or in the thickness of sin, and he will take that lamb and put it on his shoulders, and he will bring him back. That's the kind of shepherd he is. And he's the kind of shepherd that will always give us what's good for us. He will always give us good food. And it's not always the sweet and the whatever. It's the food. It's the manna for the day. It's what he knows is for our good and for our benefit and for our growing in him. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His love endures forever. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, the Bible says. Even hell itself, no situation, no circumstance can separate you from the love of God. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, there's something about entering the gates of God with thanksgiving. You know, we can see this as church, and so we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We give him praise here. But I believe the gates are, it's when we come into the presence of God. We're in the presence of God everywhere we go. In my car, when I'm doing work at home, in our jobs, the presence of God is there. When we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we often come to God, and our prayer language is our shopping list of all the stuff that we want God to do on our behalf. But you know what? We need to sometimes just come to God and be grateful and thankful for all that he's doing, all that he's done in us, the continual stream of goodness and kindness that he's pouring towards us. People need our gratefulness and our thankfulness. There's enough bad news. You know, every time you put on the TV and you watch the news, it's always bad news. There's very seldom they have a good news. Or every once in a while you'll get some miraculous situation that happened or a person who's been rescued out of a thing. But very seldom it's good news. But we have not just good news, but the good news, the greatest news. We have a Savior, a Deliverer, a Redeemer, a Shepherd, a Counselor. Some of you have been in difficult situations and you just think, I don't know what to do. But one of the names of Jesus is Counselor. That he has a counsel and wisdom for you in every situation. No matter what you're going through, there's a word from God for you, for your situation. He will be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. One of the scriptures I've prayed my whole life is, God, I lack wisdom. Sometimes I just feel dumb and ignorant. But if you pray, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give to us liberally. It's not just to a few. It's not just to the pastor. It's not just to the learned and the very educated. If you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give to you liberally. We're a priesthood of believers. Every one of us, we're on the same level. And God will give to you what you need in your situation. If you're speaking to someone, God will give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He will show you what to do in that situation. We have no more power and authority than any one of you. All authority, the Bible says, has been given to Christ and now has been given to each one of us. Psalm 107, 22 says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 107, 21, it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks for the Lord, to the Lord, for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." You know what? Our families need to see us giving thanks to God. If we're just grumbling and complaining all the time about our situations, our life, then don't be surprised that your children will have the same thing. They will become what you are. You don't like people, they won't like people. You grumble and complain, they will grumble and complain. But you begin to be a person of thankfulness and gratefulness to God, and it will reproduce in them. It will reproduce life. Let me read a couple quotes about thankfulness. It says, the unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessing. Another saying, if your speech isn't grateful, your heart won't be grateful. And then it goes on and says that scripture again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is inside will come out of the abundance of the heart. The Bible says a merry heart, and we've all quote, a merry heart is good like a medicine. But a few scriptures down in that same place, it's a merry heart has a continual feast. A merry heart, a grateful heart, a thankful heart has a continual feast, an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. It turns what we have into enough. And you know, I remember days where there wasn't enough groceries. There was times when our lights were going to be turned off if the money didn't come in. But those were days of trusting God and seeing what I could make from nothing. It were days of trusting that all of a sudden someone comes to my door and they have a box full of meat. Or someone came and they had given us a check and it was exactly what our gas bill was. All of us have had those days. And maybe some of you are even going through those days. But I tell you, we see God when we have to trust him in things like that. It is not happy people who are thankful, but rather thankful people who are happy. It's like the boy looking for the pony. And you know what? It's a funny picture, but it really needs to be us. Sometimes you hear people say, man, so much has gone wrong, there's got to be something going right. And you're looking for the nugget, you're looking for God in the situation. This one is an incredible one. It says, it is not what you say out of your mouth that determines your life. It's what you whisper to yourself that has the most power. It's what you whisper to yourself that has the most power. Excuse me. I want to just close with a few of these. Psalm 61:2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I place God in my heart above my situation. God, you're in control. When my heart is overwhelmed, when there seems no way through, when I'm in a dark tunnel, I'm overwhelmed, but God, I go to the rock. I see you as bigger than this situation. You are going to be our deliverer. There's more that are for me than against me. Do we have needs or lack? He says he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through him. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of Jesus Christ. Even when we're weary, it says, as my day is, so shall my strength be. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. In no situation have we slipped out of his hand or been separated from him. He will never, ever, ever let you go. So how can we awake in our soul to live? We can awaken our soul to live because of being thankful and grateful. I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke that to me for a reason, because he said that, and then tons of scriptures he just brought to my mind about being thankful and grateful. We need to stir ourselves up, people, sometimes. Well, not just sometimes, all the time. Every day I have to stir myself up and see what I have to be thankful for, what I have to be grateful for. Because sometimes if I look at my situation, my finances, the difficulties going on in the church, some of the broken marriages, the difficult situations, I can get really down, or I want to, you know, do myself in. But we awaken our soul and count the blessings of God. We taste and see that he is good and kind and generous, and his ways are perfect. He gives and he takes away life. You know, Jocelyn's dad went to be with the Lord, and I texted her yesterday, and she was texting me back about the goodness of God and how peaceful he went. And then the thought came to me, wow, this is his first day in heaven. This is his first day to be with a great cloud of witnesses. Wow. The first day of eternity for him. What an incredible picture. The Bible even says, better is the day of our death than the day that we were born. Because to go to be with Christ, wow. That song that was written, I can only imagine. We can only get a glimpse of what it's really going to be like. We have been given so much and have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.